Over the Line, in association with JFW Renewables, your local solar energy specialists.
Our special guest this evening, delighted that she could come along and join us. And she's hot-footed it from Dangan, where she's been training all evening. Julianne Russell, how are you?
Hi, Derry. I'm great, thanks. Thanks a million for having me. And yeah, as you mentioned, just out of the car in from training, still a bit mucky and sweaty, but your luck, thank God, we're on radio.
No bother to you. Take us back. You're from Moycullen.
I am.
Going back to Moycullen days, I suspect you played a little bit of Gaelic games for in ladies football. I suspect you might have had an interest in basketball as well, given that's the most popular sport these days in Moycullen, before you started playing soccer.
I suppose I was a lover of all sports. I still am. But yeah, as you mentioned, I played Gaelic football actually for the boys team at the time. Moycullen didn't have a ladies team. So I played for the boys, and I played for Saltill Knocknacarra for the girls team. And as you mentioned, yeah, I played basketball as well all up through the years, and still love both sports, but at the end of the day I had to concentrate on one, and I chose soccer.
Is that wonderful, Cherie? Julianne, I think what you've just said there is that you had to play for the boys team. I can go back to my own youth. I've often said it here when we've had female guests on the programme, is that there was never really a great choice of sport in school for ladies. They either played basketball. It was normally basketball, or that was it, camogie if there was some rural influence in the school. It's wonderful that nowadays that advancement in all sport, and especially in girls' sport, and I think in schools especially, it gives the girls just so much choice, because not every girl is going to be 6'1" and be able to play basketball. It's wonderful to have choice, and I think it's a lot of it down to some great coaching work in schools.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I look back 10, 15 years, the advancements for women's sport has come on leaps and bounds. I think the media, there's still a lot of work to do, but I think it's great to be able for girls and women to be able to watch their role models and watch sports stars on the TV and out on in their local pitches, and even myself being on the radio tonight, being able to hear from a girl sports athlete is an amazing thing for girls to see, and I think the uptake then will continue from there.
30 years ago it was so strange when Frances Cryan represented Ireland in the Olympics in rowing. This was a massive achievement, the first lady ever to row for Ireland. And now fast forward, and it's amazing, Gerard, that the two local Galway girls as well. One of Ireland's main medal hopes is this four. The ladies' four.
Yes.
It's wonderful. And it's two wonderful the way two Galway girls as well. Yeah. It just shows you.
Well, George, you'll also remember back a couple of months ago when we had Niamh Fahey on.
Yes.
And you would have played with Niamh on the Irish side at least, and probably in the Galway League.
Yeah.
Another wonderful ambassador. But what amazes me, and I was looking at the Anna Geary programme the other night, and she was kind of discussing why girls and women don't stick at sport, and there's a whole bunch of reasons, obviously, but it must be a tough sort of road to go to stay at it for so long.
Yeah, I think it's getting easier because people can make careers out of it now, but as a woman athlete, I can vow that it's not an easy path. I obviously play soccer at a high level, but I also work with Microsoft, and I have to balance both careers. I suppose if I was a man and I was just playing soccer, I could just earn that as a wage, but unfortunately that's not I'm not able to do that as a woman athlete.
Who were your influences? John, your brother, probably was one of them.
Yeah.
And when you joined Saltill Devon, you joined it with a lot of fairly famous Irish ladies' soccer names.
Yeah, yeah. Growing up, my brother was a massive influence on me. I suppose every when I look back as a child, I always had a football at my feet, and my poor parents had to go through many a broken window and broken vases. But I suppose they're happy to see where we both or what we both achieved. Then when I joined Salt of Devon, it was been amazing to be able to play with Niamh Fahey before she went over to Arsenal. At the time, I played with Maeve De Burka, who's also a great Galway player, and it's great that Maeve actually has come back and she's playing with Galway this season. So it's great to be able to play with her again. But yeah, no, there's been loads of great footballers that's come out of Salt of Devon, and there's a lot of young talent as well still coming out of it. It's a great club and they've produced a lot of good athletes.
When you played, you played at all underage levels for Ireland in your early days, most of those would have been as a Salt of Devon player.
Yeah. From the age of about 13 onwards, I played on every underage team, and that was all with Salt of Devon. Then when I was about 18, the Women's National League started, and unfortunately Salt of Devon didn't put a team into it, and as a result I ended up going to Piemont United. Yes. Up in Dublin. And I suppose then when I was doing my master's up in Dublin and then continued on in work, it made sense for me to continue with Piemont.
Is that something, unfortunately, in female sport, Julianne, that with the communities, you know, maybe that not enough girls take up sport, obviously percentage to boys, it's going to be that little bit less, and some sports stars might just have to go away, like you had to travel for your opportunities, first to Salt Hill, obviously with education, Dublin was taken in as well, but in the west of Ireland, do you think that female sport have just to battle that little bit harder?
Yeah, I do, and I think especially for soccer, I don't think there's enough clubs. I think Gaelic football has a lot more women playing, especially throughout the west of Ireland, from really young age girls, from I'd say 6 onwards. With soccer, that's not the case at all. And then I suppose when it comes down to even facilities, I think Dublin has just a bit more money pumped into it compared to compared to the West, and I suppose they have more people, but at the end of the day, even the people from the West of Ireland still travel and go up and make those sacrifices. So I think we're a bit limited here. It's growing, and it has since I was young, but I think there's still room for improvement.
Mm-hmm. Playing with Piemont would have put you in a shop window, I suppose, really, as well as anything else. You did have a go across channel, Doncaster Rovers Bells, in 2012, but you didn't really stay that long over there, a couple of years?
Yeah, so for when I went over to Doncaster, it was a great opportunity. It was actually, I was in my third year in university, and I was doing my placement. So I did business and marketing down in University of Limerick. And I actually worked with Doncaster, with the club, doing in their sales and marketing. Right. And then I actually got to play in the league as well. So I kind of weaved my way into that one, being able to play soccer and then also complete my placement. So I was only over there for one season. Then I returned back to do my final year in college.
Yeah, and back to UCD?
Yeah. Well, I went to Limerick, and then after Limerick, I did my master's in UCD.
Yeah, and UCD Waves, I think they were only beginning at the time, really.
Yeah.
And that was another opportunity for you to play in the Women's League here in Ireland.
Yeah. So it was a new club. They had a team years ago, and a very successful team at that. However, they kind of restarted it, and when I was doing my master's then it again made sense for me to join UCD, and I played there for a few seasons, and again played with some amazing players, the likes of Karen Duggan, Anya Gorman, just to name a few, and yeah, we had some great successes there as well.
And of course, one of the reasons probably that UCD Waves suited you is because your former Piedmont United manager Eileen Gleeson was the one that took that team.
Eileen used to look after Piedmont, and then made the move to UCD, and I suppose there was a core group of girls that made the move with her. Eileen is a great manager, and she's a great person actually, so I think she had that support from a lot of us, and it was great to have that couple of seasons with her.
Do you see any young girls out there coming up behind you that are sort of catching your eye?
Yeah, there's some great young girls in the league, and I think that they're going to go far. The likes of Ellen Malloy, who plays with Wexford Utes, we just actually played her last weekend. She's young and upcoming. You can see great talent in there. There's some great young players on our Galway team, the likes of Shauna Brennan and Therese Kenevy. They're two young girls to look out for the future.
I would think maybe perhaps the League of Ireland is for women is not big enough yet. There's not enough clubs participating. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. There's 9 clubs. It's grown, but yeah, I don't think it's enough. I think when I look back at the league over in England, like that started not so long ago, and the coverage and the growth that that league has had is incredible. Obviously they got the backing of a lot of the men's clubs, and I think that's been instrumental in the growth of it. I think if we could do the same here in Ireland with the League of Ireland clubs, although to be fair the men's League of Ireland isn't obviously as big, and they have their own issues and problems themselves, but I think it would be amazing if we could kind of build the men and women side by side, and kind of do a big campaign around that to grow the sport for both.
I think if you look across channel that a lot of the bigger clubs now are allowing the women to play in their own stadiums. Mm-hmm. Anfield is used for Liverpool, I think. There's a few clubs that have specific grounds for the ladies, and a lot of investment in a few of those.
But also the converse of that, unfortunately, Gerry, and it's true with my own club, and I know it's Julianne's club as well, Manchester United. They just had a ladies team just to tick a box. And that is unfortunate, and that is wrong. And that's not the image that ladies sport wants to put out either. Like, we see in the GA side of things, like Camogie and ladies football, in the majority of clubs, it works on an equal basis. Yes, the numbers aren't going to be the same, but in soccer, you are right. 9 teams within a country of our size, geographically as well, it's quite hard because, again, we're back to the West of Ireland thing. There's quite a lot of travelling involved. And I think that's, you know, that's something. It is a huge commitment to be involved with Galway United. Galway WFC, should I say. It's a huge commitment. There's a lot of travelling involved, and it's a decision you have to probably make early in the season and stay with it. You know, is there, going back to the local side of things, Julianne, and to grow the sport, is there much in an idea that just about came to my head when we're speaking of reducing the number of players to put a 9-a-side league? Would that benefit growth, or do you think it has to stick with the 11-a-side?
Personally, I think it should stay at 11. Mm-hmm. I just think, yeah, there needs to be more teams. I think, like, the likes of Mayo and Sligo, they've a lot of girls up there that they could afford to make a team. I suppose even there's girls playing for Galway and that are travelling up from Clare, even Kerry, we have a girl travelling up from Listowel. Like, I think there could be more teams throughout the west of Ireland.
So it's about somebody really having the guts to make a decision and believe that their local club is going to take that. And from what I gather from you, it's about an area catering for its local population to better the local population's skill level and better the sport as a whole.
Absolutely.
Over the Line, in association with JFW Renewables, your local solar energy specialists. Discover options for battery storage and heat your hot water cylinder. Visit jfwrenewables.ie.
Julianne, as I said before the break, I want to talk a little bit about your international career. Many caps is it now? 59?
Yeah, 59.
One to go to get the 6-0.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully that will come soon.
Yeah, that's a long career at international level, through many tournaments and qualification attempts to various things. But you played for Ireland in your youth, long before you played senior.
I was playing underage since I was about 13 years of age, and then I made my senior debut when I was 18 against Kazakhstan over there, which was quite an experience. And then, yeah, from there, I was playing for the last 9-10 years.
Like I say, it's a splendid career. But you've had some good results. You've contributed a good few goals yourself. And that's your game, out on the wing or up front, scoring goals as often as you can.
I get quite a lot of assists, and I suppose I should probably be getting on the score sheet a bit more than what I like. My dad, he's probably listening. He's always giving out to me for not going for goal, but I suppose that's always a parent wanting their child to go for glory. But yeah, no, look, as long as whatever team I'm playing with wins, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Going away playing for Ireland, and I know there was difficulties with the FAI a number of years ago, has all that cleared up now?
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago now that happened when we went on strike, and I think it was took a lot of courage for us to do it at the time. And yeah, there's definitely been massive improvements from that. And I suppose when we did do it, it was more to benefit the girls that are 12, 13 years of age now, that they would have a much better experience that we did. But to answer your question, yes, things have improved.
And I think probably that was a catalyst for national media to take more notice of the Irish ladies football side, and you started to get more coverage even in the games on the back of that.
It did. It was fantastic, and we have RTE covering a lot of the games now, even away games, which is fantastic. We're getting a lot more media and newspapers, and we've definitely seen a lot. Still more to do, but improvement has been there.
And what's ahead of the Irish team now? What's your next project?
Yeah, so the World Cup qualifiers start in September, and the World Cup's actually, funny enough, it's in Australia and New Zealand in 2023. So I just returned about 3 weeks ago, so it would be absolutely amazing to qualify and to go back there and to be playing there, and all my Aussie friends and co-workers hopefully could come and watch.
Is it a realistic dream that Ireland are capable of making the World Cup, Julianne?
I believe so, yes. I think the talent is there, especially there's a good group of girls there. A lot of people have gone professional over in the UK, and one or two in the US. I just think we just need to go a little level more, and I think we can do it. The likes of Northern Ireland women's team qualified for the Euros, and to be honest, I think we're better than them. If they can do it, I think obviously some results have to go your way. There is always a bit of a luck, but yeah, I do think we are capable.
And your seeding at the moment at international level probably needs to go up one level.
Yeah, absolutely. We have had very tough groups in a lot of the last qualifiers, both in the World Cup and the Euros, the likes of Germany, Spain, Holland. We need to try and avoid those big guns to be able to have a chance of qualifying.
Yeah, but they're full of professional players in their leagues. Are all the Irish girls professional? Probably not.
No, they're not. There's, I'm going to say over half are, but then there is a good handful of girls that are still playing in the Women's National League, which is great for the league. But I suppose you would want most of your players playing professional.
And of course, like you said, you have a job, so you're fitting your football around your work for Microsoft. And that was one of the reasons why you ended up in Australia.
Yeah.
It was with work that you went over there initially and then got involved in football over there.
Yeah, so 4 years ago now, I was afforded the opportunity to transfer from Microsoft Ireland over to Microsoft Australia. So I moved over to Sydney, and fortunately, I actually had a sister over there who was living over there for about 6 years. So I'd been there, and I loved the lifestyle and the culture and all the sports. So I thought, why not? And I'd give it a shot. And then when I got over there, I continued to play soccer, and the Australian women's team are amazing. They're up top seeds, I think maybe sixth or seventh. And you can see why they're up that high, because the league is really high quality, professional league. And then even their league below that is massively high standard as well.
Australia strikes me as a country that really has put a huge effort into female sports, Julianne.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at the influx of Irish ladies into their Australian rules set up. They've done the same with the male side of Australian rules. They've come to Ireland looking for people that are talented that way. They seem to just have, I would suggest, put a lot more investment in female sport than many other countries, the Australians.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that the facilities for both men and women is equal over there. The amount of role models, even in the media and even visually when you're walking down the street, you'll see women sports stars plastered all over the place, which is amazing to see. And it's across all sports. It's not just like one particular sport. I suppose you can even see that in the Olympics that's going on now, the amount of Australian athletes that are women.
It brings back to me the way they marketed Cathy Freeman many years ago in her event. You know, she became the pin-up lady of Australian sport for a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me when I see the publicity, Cora Staunton and a lot more like her, have got, for instance, when she had that horrific injury, they played a huge, it was a bad news story. It was the story about an Irish person who had come taken up their game, and they just bought, they seemed to buy into female sport. And I go back to tennis as well over the years, when they've had a quality sports star person, they are able to market that irrespective of gender.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the Australian people are very into women's sport, and there's no kind of, I suppose, they don't care what gender it is. They just like going out watching sport and enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about the little while you spent in LA.
Oh yeah, so
that's a long time ago.
It is, yeah. God, many moons. I went over one summer during my college years in Limerick, and I played for a soccer team called LA Strikers for about 3 months, and it was an amazing experience. Again, the facilities were out of this world. To see what the girls get over there is just amazing. The college campuses are like
small cities.
Like, I can't even describe. They're just amazing, and even the amount of fans that come and watch, and they're just so into it. I think the Americans really know how to put on a show, and they do it right.
What's next for you? You're with Galway WFC. Things have been sort of stop-start this season so far. You weren't involved. As you said, you're only back 3 or 4 weeks. Have things settled down?
Yeah, I think it's been a rocky season to date for Galway. And I think that things are starting to settle. We've had a good few injuries, which was unfortunate. But I think now with a good few signings now, and we're starting to click a bit more. I think week on week, the performance is getting better. We just need to fix up on a few bits and pieces, and I think that the potential is there.
And Stephen is only getting to know you at this stage, I'm sure. He's not that long in the job either.
Yeah, sure. He's the same as myself. I think he started 2 weeks before me, so he's still getting to know the girls and how they play and getting into the swing of things. So, yeah, I think give it a little bit of time and you should see improvement.
All right. Well, pretty much exhausted all the questions we had for you, I think. Listen, you need to go home and get yourself dusted down after your evening's training. And really appreciate you coming in to talk to us, Julianne.
Not a bother.
You're one of Galway's real highlights, superstar.
It's wonderful the way you can share this. And I think, actually, Julianne, that you can share your experiences with your fellow Galway WFC members, because there's a huge world out there. It's not, the UK and other parts of Ireland are not, the modern youth want to travel the world. Mm. And I think your experience in LA and Australia, and people like you, I think should be used to a positive, to encourage these people to follow their dreams and use the sporting and working life to marry each other and just basically work hand in hand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think working in a global multinational and playing sport, there's such similarities, and I think that when I'm work, I can talk a lot about sport and teamwork and etc. So it works really well hand in hand.
Anyway, listen, thanks very much for dropping in.
Not
it was a pleasure to talk to you, and best of luck for the rest of the season and indeed the rest of your career with the Republic of Ireland. You have a few years left in you, I'm sure.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully
okay.
The legs will keep going.
All right, okay.
Thank you.
Over the Line, in association with JFW Renewables, your local solar energy specialists.